And that means we are live. Let's pull up our stats window. And, oh, did I do that? I think I did that. Gameplay. Filters. Source record on. Okay. All right. That puts us up. Hello, nerds. Sorry for the weird intro, but, you know, it's been a month almost since we did this last, so I had to work out a couple of kinks, and I had to make sure everything was up and running, which part of that required the first 30 seconds of stream, so my apologies, but here we are. So, as I get my drink up my nose. We are live for the news. Make sure I've got the chat up. There it is. And we're gonna just jump right into the news because it's been a little while, so let's do this. Oh boy, there it is. Ha! Almost forgot where we were going. Alright, so. Cosmic Book is our first source, as per usual. And. Oh, hey, check this out. So, the more obviously visual, if you're watching in post, because there's nobody in chat just yet, but if you're watching in post or if you are listening in post, then I apologize, but this part's going to be visual. We have first three episodes. We will have to get to that. That's cool. Boys season 3 apparently dropped the first three episodes early. Right now, we are taking a look at... Oh, of course it's... There we go. New pictures of The Rock as Black Adam. interesting. Oh, that's cool. The logo for the movie as well. And we have Funkos. That's really cool. There's a weird texture on his suit. That, oh, it's like cuneiform and... Oh, maybe that's it. There's definitely writing all across it. But all that I can see is cuneiform. And maybe like star maps or something? That's pretty cool. It would make more sense, and I'm sure in the full version. Let's see if we can actually open image in new tab. There we go. Let's zoom in on this. Ugh, it won't let us zoom. Nope. That's not what I was looking for. Let's do this. Zoom, there we go. Alright, oh, bite me. Zoom. Yeah, no, the only thing that looks like it could be language looks like cuneiform. It would make sense that it was Egyptian, but whatever, okay. That's so far so good, I guess. It looks good. Don't really care about the rest of that because it's probably all stuff we already know. Marvel Spider-Man video game coming to... Oh, yeah! Alright, so Sony had its State of Play. And they announced actually a multiple games that are coming to PC in the State of Play. So let's read this. In what was originally a PlayStation exclusive, Insomniac Games announces Marvel's Spider-Man video game will be available for PC, which also includes a sequel, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. Trailers below, blah, blah, blah. There's a quote here. Who is it from? Yuren Katzman? Nix's founder and senior director of development and coordinated the move to PC. All right, so I'm extremely pleased with our collaboration with Insomniac on the Marvel's Spider-Man series. The shared support provided between our teams and their dedication to quality above all is inspiring. It allows our team to leverage our technical expertise and focus on creating the best possible PC experience that takes advantage of all exciting possibilities the PC platform has to offer. Our team has always been big fans of the work from Insomniac, and partnering with them to bring Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered and Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales to PC in the best way we can is something we are incredibly excited about. So that's huge, actually. Morbius returning to... Why is Morbius returning to theaters? Let's get to this. Morbius is returning to theaters this weekend, which kicks off on Friday. When was this posted? Yesterday? So, today. In over 1,000 theaters. The flick absolutely tanked at the box office, according to this article. Worst performing Marvel movie of all time. Yes, one of, anyway. Apparently, thanks to a meme social media campaign, Morbius has renewed life in the form of a limited weekend release. Can't be mad at Sony when Morbius 2 has him say it's Morbin time. If you also clapped when Spider-Man did the pointing meme on screen. So yeah, apparently because it's now a meme, Sony's like, well, let's put it into theaters. Morbin time has trended on Twitter with fans thinking the viral campaign was for a sequel, but it appears to be for the weekend re-release, with KFC also getting in on the action. Weird. Yeah, got nothing. That's just because they're trying to capitalize on a meme, I guess. Absolutely ridiculous. Fans disapprove of Obi-Wan and Kathleen Kennedy's Star Wars. Okay, so I have yet to watch Obi-Wan. So that is definitely something on my list of things that need to happen. But I have heard very mixed things. Obi-Wan Kenobi's series looks to be another big bust for the Disney streaming service as fans continue to voice their disapproval of Kathleen Kennedy's Star Wars. Oh, brother. I just lost my place. With episode 3 released on Wednesday, Obi-Wan Kenobi only has a 58% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is even worse than the book Boba Fett, because Boba Fett had Mando in it, and of course a lot worse than Favreau's Mandalorian. Boba Fett's 59%, Mandalorian 91%. Guarding the disapproval, it seems to be another case where Kathleen Kennedy is destroying a Star Wars classic character with Obi-Wan, which follows Kennedy destroying Luke Skywalker in the Disney Star Wars trilogy and the destruction of Boba Fett. I wouldn't say that the Boba Fett series destroyed the character, just kind of put him in a different light, I guess, and not a lot of people appreciated that. I thought the series was a lot of fun, but I am definitely in the minority with them. Obi-Wan is shown to be quite depressed and apparently has stopped using the Force in his 10 years of, quote, hiding, where he regularly goes to work, goes into town, and has conversations with Uncle Owen. Yet, he doesn't know Anakin is still alive and now goes by Darth Vader. What happened to Yoda teaching him about talking with Qui-Gon, who certainly would be aware that Anakin would still be alive? What happened to Obi-Wan being a Jedi? It's more Kathleen Kennedy Star Wars that makes no sense. Well, I mean, let's be reasonable about this, shall we? We have a reasonably nerdy moment. at the beginning of the Holy Trilogy, at the beginning of New Hope, Obi-Wan is effectively cut off. I mean, like, they don't go into great detail because Lucas was making it up as he went along, but, like, that's pretty much how he was at the beginning of A New Hope. He was isolated on Tatooine with Anakin. It's just the way it is. So, I mean, I don't understand why we're holding that against him, because that's been an established thing already. The article goes on to say, more red flags. Another red flag is how Disney is handling what I believe is contrived controversy surrounding Moses Ingram in the show, as it's claimed to be all about racism. So, connecting the dots, if you don't like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're probably a racist. Yes, I've heard this guy I work with, who is totally detached from all of this stuff, said, yeah, I hear that the fans don't like that character because she's black. And I was like, that's not what I've heard. As I said before, what I have heard is that it's, you know, she's a pointless character. There was no purpose for her to be there, and she kind of screws up, from what we know right now, she screws up some of the canon. So, yeah, that's why they're mad, not because she's black. Who cares what color her skin is? As I said before, well, sure, there are those fans who are a few sandwiches short of a picnic. Yes, I've received death threats myself for articles I've written. It in no way represents even 99.9% of the fan base, let alone the Star Wars fan base. It's more woke propaganda from Disney, in my opinion, and it suggests they are getting really desperate. Yes, I believe that part of that statement is 100% true. I watched a little bit of the Star Wars Celebration convention, effectively, a few of the panels, and it seems that Favreau and Filoni are swinging for the fences, but anything that Kathleen Kennedy touches kind of just goes to pieces, so I can see that. DC Insider recommends woke Superman cancellation. Back to Henry Cavill. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Doctor Strange 2 coming to Disney Plus on June 22nd. You blew the lead, I guess. Joe Quesada leaves Marvel. Let's see what's happening here. Tuesday, Joe Quesada, he is leaving Marvel, where he has previously served as editor-in-chief and most recently as executive vice president and creative director. Quesada released the following statement on the Twitters. May 31st, 2022. Hey there, true believer. Got a sec? I have something I'd like to share with you. When I first jumped into the world of comics, my goal was to create my own characters, stories, and universes. Then one day, Marvel made me an offer that changed the trajectory of my life. But lately, I've found myself thinking more and more of my favorite stanza from T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding. Quote, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." That's why it's both exciting and bittersweet that after discussions, unquote, I'm sorry. After discussions with both my family and my family at Marvel, after 2 decades plus, has it really been that long? The time has come for me to move on. As you can imagine, my love for the company, its characters, and all my coworkers runs deep. But I have an exciting new chapter that's about to begin, so the time feels right. Just checking stream things. We are still good. Okay. He goes on to say, in August of 2000, Marvel took a shot on me and trusted me with the keys to the universe and has been my biggest supporter ever since. During that time, I've had the great fortune to stand on the shoulders of giants, none broader than those of my predecessors and mentors, the best editorial team in the business, my co-working family, and the most talented creators on earth who put their trust in me, especially in the early days when it looked like I was selling tickets on the Titanic. Thank you all for sharing your talent and pouring your heart and soul into every project. Blah, blah, blah. Is this? Yeah, okay. So it's not, no bad feelings, apparently. So Feige, Dan Buckley, and CB Sapolsky have all issued statements as well. Oh yeah, you're gonna rub the cheese in my face? Thanks. Sorry, baby. Under Quesada, Marvel Comics released big hits such as Civil War, Secret Invasion, and back in the day, Quesada okayed Marvel Cosmic with Annihilation as long as it made money, which included titles such as Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy. Quesada was also part of the Ike Perlmutter crew at Marvel and Marvel TV as he produced the Marvel Netflix shows, including Daredevil and ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kevin Feige, who was now in charge of Marvel, said in a statement, "There are few who know Marvel Comics like Joe, and his countless contributions have helped create characters and stories. So again, all very nice. Simply put, Joe is one of the most influential creatives in comics," Dan Bakley said in a statement. "Everything he has done, from penciling to writing, designing, and editing, brainstorming, has been, always will be, at the highest level." So yeah, everybody's cool with it. Have fun. Interesting. Petition to remove Amber Heard from Aquaman 2. Record high. I'm curious, how high is record high? Yeah, 4.44 million signatures as of the writing of this article 2 days ago, so on the 1st. So, yeah, very fastly approaching 4.5 million signatures. That's, and it is now at, let's open up the link, shall we? Open in a new tab. We are at over 4.5 million signatures at this point. Trying to get to 6 million. That's funny. I mean, the movie's basically done at this point, and I feel like Mera is relatively important, I would imagine. So, I don't know. March 17th, 2023 is still the release date for Aquaman 2. So I guess a lot could happen in that time, so we'll see. Johnny Depp, Amber Heard verdict is in. If you haven't heard that by now, I feel like you're living under a rock. Toby Emmerich steps down. Oh, that's right. I briefly heard something about this the other day, so let's get into this, since we were just talking about him approving something the other day, and now he's stepping down. So, Toby Emmerich is out as the head of Warner Brothers Motion Pictures, which also includes the DC films. Michael DeLuca and Pam Abdi are taking over, who recently left they both recently left MGM. Okay, I get it. Toby Emmerich stepping down is the latest from Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav, who has been cleaning house. That's the CEO I couldn't think of in the main episode earlier this week because I take fantastic notes. Last week also saw it reported Zaslav is looking over the J.J. Abrams deal. Yeah, that's what we talked about. Regarding Emmerich, it said he decided to step down after he would have given up oversight of DC and animation, but it's reported instead that Emmerich has signed a lucrative production deal at Warner Brothers given to him by Zaslav. So he's still going to be a producer, he's just not going to be the head of Warner Brothers. Interesting. DeLuca is a longtime producer in Hollywood, blah, 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 blah. 47 Ronin, Kill the Messenger. Nothing super significant. Okay. Fun and exciting, I suppose. Gotham Knights trailer. Oh, boy. All right, so now we're into stuff that we talked about in the main episode. Top Gun scores a box office. First look at Zolo, Moradueña, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Yep, that's where we're at. All right. So, let's go next to, where shall we go? Where shall we go? Not doing We Got This Covered on the live show anymore. There's too much garbage to sift through. We can go to, we'll go to comic book, I guess. More Joe Bob in the background, if you can hear that. Hopefully that's not enough to kill the stream or the, no, it's fine.
Russo, thank you.
Sit in my lap, I'll give you scratches. All right. No, that's my drink. little helper is trying to get into my stuff. Jurassic Park star admits he's only seen it maybe 4 times. okay, irrelevant. Black Adam shares new pictures. Batman fan edits Fight Club. Oh, edits Club Fight to add gorillas, and it's amazing. Interesting. Peacock is now streaming one of 2022's best movies for free. Morbius 2. Nope. Fantastic Four. Bruce Campbell says Sam Raimi should direct. That'd be cool. Deadpool 3 screenwriters tease Disney is allowing a vulgar sequel. Let's get into that real quick, shall we? Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who were reintroduced as the writers for the project, as we covered when it happened, revealed how Marvel Studios is allowing them to keep the Merc with a Mouth's vulgarity that became a winning formula over 20th Century Fox. News on the third Deadpool movie has been slow to come by, though fans recently learned that Free Guy and Adam Project director Shawn Levy will re-team with Ryan Reynolds on Deadpool 3. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick involvement is also new information. Not that new. It's a few months old at this point, though they are no strangers to Deadpool. After penning the first two film scripts, since Disney is known as a family-first company, there's always been worry about Deadpool's brand of raunchiness, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so don't worry about that, Reese told Den of Geek. They've been very supportive with regard to that. Interesting. Now, when it comes to a particular joke, if we cross a line, maybe we'll hear at some point, maybe not that joke, but I think they've been incredibly supportive of what we're doing, because obviously we were doing it separate from them for a long time, and I think they've seen the success, and they've had their own even greater success. So hopefully it'll be a marriage made in heaven, but we've definitely got their support, and that's a great thing to feel. That's really cool, actually. In active development. Yeah. Star Danny Ramirez addresses it. He'll be the new Falcon. You miss New Orleans? Yeah. Bullet Train TV spot. That looks like it's going to be a fun movie. Dragon Ball Super. Nope, TV spot, also looks interesting. Sam Raimi Spider-Man has a new streaming home. So much, even in the good sources, like there's so much garbage to go through. All right, I guess we are over TV. Oh wait, here we go, Tron 3. Uh-oh. That's not great. Let's get into Tron 3. Apparently, Tron 3 has been shelved. Computer World of the Grid is unplugged for now. In 2015, it was announced Tron Legacy director Joseph Kaczynski would reunite with Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde for Tron 3, but the sequel to the 2010 film was never officially greenlighted, or greenlit, you know, whatever. Disney didn't move forward with Kaczynski's Legacy follow-up, and by 2020, Deadline reported the studio was developing a third Tron with Lion Helmer Garth Davis directing and Jared Leto starring. An interview with Vulture, the Top Gun Maverick director, speculated Disney chose to invest in its Marvel and Star Wars brands over the planned Tron Ascension. So that's not an official... Well, I guess it never got greenlit, even the Ascension one, so... Nothing about this is beneficial. Just Jared Leto stoking flames, hoping to get people to tell Disney they wanted another Tron movies. Probably. Carl Urban, hilarious, really? All right, let's see. So, Carl Urban, fan cast as Wolverine. Interview with The Guardian, he said, oh really, he sputters, it's flattering, but you have to rationally think about it. I'm what, 2 years younger than Hugh Jackman? It's closer to 4 years. I mean, if I was a studio looking to cast someone as Wolverine, I'd pick someone I'll get three films out of. You're not going to get three films out of Carl Urban unless you want a 65-year-old Wolverine. It's, I wouldn't say hilarious, but accurate. I think we're going to move to a different category. Beavis and Butthead do the... Oh, that's right. There's a new trailer for the Beavis and Butthead movie, finally, which I watched a part of, but I don't think I watched the entire thing. I think it was an ad and I skipped it. But it's coming to Paramount Plus. And in the trailer, from what I've seen of it, we're not going to watch it in stream because, again, I don't know how to get around that shutting us down for a moment. But you don't see the old Beavis and Butthead like we saw Mike Judge put up on his Twitter a few months back. So very interested to see, you know, what happens there. Flash movie testing well amidst Ezra Miller concerns. Interesting. Wizarding World movies could be, quote, reset after Fantastic Beasts box office disappointment. Yeah, I think we can get into that one because there's rumor in here, I'm sure.
He was going to star in the...
Or in the Tron 3. Tron 3 movie. All right, so Harry Potter. After phenomenal success of Warner Brothers' Harry Potter film franchise, the studio expanded the brand. Yes, we know the background. Just get to the meat and potatoes, shall we? Rap reports that some of the key divisions of the studio will have a hands-on approach from Zaslav. It's in that report that it's suggested Zaslav might be headed to reset the Potter brand. Interesting. He will also have his hands on DC and Warner Animation, so this may be a sign of things to come for those franchises. Third Fantastic Beasts movie, titled Secrets of Dumbledore, opened at just $43 million box office earlier this year. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them had a $74 million opening weekend in 2015 and 18. Crimes of Grindelwald took in $62 million. To make things worse, the box office had a precipitous 67% drop from the first to second weekend. Movie had the deck stacked against it. Oh, good lord, comic book. Let's stop editorializing, shall we? In addition to diminishing box office returns between installments and harsh reviews of the second movie, the Harry Potter franchise as a whole has been struggling with creator J.K. Rowling's steady stream of controversies. Goodness, heaven forbid she having a freaking opinion. Johnny Depp parted ways with the franchise. Oh, that's very diplomatic. Johnny Depp parted ways with the franchise? No, Johnny Depp was fired from the franchise because everyone believed lies about Johnny Depp. And he has recently been vindicated, so now they have to tread lightly when they talk about the firing that happened. So, yeah, let's not mince words here, shall we? After a British court ruled against him in a defamation case, which is tangentially related to the U.S. case that is wrapped up this weekend. Oh my good lord. Yeah, okay. David Yates directs from a screenplay by J.K. Rowling and Steve Kloves, based on screenplay by Rowling, starring Eddie Redmayne. That's all we're getting? Really? That's it? Just a rumor from the rap. Okay. Man, I wish I ran a multi-million dollar website that could just put really nothing in their stories and sit back and rest on my laurels for the rest of time. That'd be awesome. Reveals release dates. Batgirl directors confirm Michael Keaton role in HBO Max film. We already knew this. That's not news. Fantastic forecasting. Hawkeye Season 2. Phase 0. I think I actually saw something about this when we were doing research for the last regular episode. Phase 0 is a YouTube channel. That's right. Oh, and this is speculation. This is who they want as... Good night. This is not news. Full Metal Alchemist Final Transmutation trailer released. This is the live-action Full Metal Alchemist, I believe. Full Metal Alchemist is considered by many one of the greatest anime stories of all time, following a pair of brothers whose lives have been adversely affected by an experiment in alchemy gone awry. With this year marking the 20th anniversary of the series created by Hiromu Arakawa, the first trailer for the film, or the final film, in the live-action... What? The first trailer for the final film in the live-action trailer. WonderfulEditingComicBook.com. Final Transmutation has arrived to give viewers an idea of how this new take on Edward and Alphonse Elric will come to a close. Currently, there has been no word on whether or if these new films will be hitting North America. Oh, so it's a Chinese. Or a Japanese. Yeah, that's Japanese. Okay, we're good. I'm not losing my mind, I promise. Winnie the Pooh horror movie teases sadistic violence by Pooh and Piglet. Yeah, okay. We are now back into... Alright, so we're going to TV news. Let's change categories. Made in the Abyss, Stranger Things Season 4. Oh, it's changing up links. So I told you we're going to follow up on this, so here we go. Official runtime for the final episode is 2 hours and 19 minutes. So we have... The two final episodes of season 4 are both going to be over 2 hours. At one point suggested that the final episode would be 2.5 hours, and now we know 2 hours and 19 minutes, which is 2.25 hours. Goodness. Heaven forbid they round up a little bit. Stranger Things 4, yeah, that's all this is about. That's 5 paragraphs letting you know 2 sentences worth of information. Marvel's Kevin Feige says Ms. Marvel's Avengers Con could become real. That's an interesting thought. Marvel Studios hasn't really made an appearance at a convention since the beginning of COVID. And they have only showcased their upcoming project during Disney Investors Call D23 or the Disney Upfronts. Fans have been wondering if Marvel would ever launch something similar to Lucasfilm's Star Wars Celebration. That would make sense. And it seems that that's definitely a possibility. Studios' upcoming Ms. Marvel series will feature a convention called Avengers Con. And during the press conference for the series, Marvel Studios President Kevin Feige and head writer Bisha K. Ali revealed they have had talks about making it a real thing. I think that would be really cool. I think it should move to more places than Star Wars Celebration does, because I've only seen Star Wars Celebration in like 4 different places, 3 different places, and they're like California and the UK, basically. So if they do that, I feel like it should be a little more mobile. Or maybe they should do like 2 a year. That would be really cool. A summer and a winter. And again, we have 6 paragraphs to tell us 2 sentences worth of information. Fun. Strange... Rick and Morty Easter egg in Stranger Things Season 4. I don't know if I buy that. Former Eagle-eyed fans have spotted a possible link between the two beloved franchises. A lot of these kind of stories are really people grasping at straws. Story of Hawkins seems to have a mad scientist of its own living within the borders of a small town plagued by the creatures spawning from the upside down. Easter egg in question takes place during the 2nd episode, so kind of spoilers, but it's the 2nd episode, so you really don't have a whole lot of information at that point. Of the 4th season of Stranger Things, in which the band of young heroes currently living in Hawkins are looking for a certain Rick who has information in the video store... What? In which Steve and Robin currently wreck. While the gang is luckily able to find the Rick that they're looking for, there is another name. Oh, I guess I didn't pay that close attention when they showed the list. Another name of the list that fans of the Adult Swim series will find, as it appears that none other than Rick Sanchez is an account in Hawkins' family video. That's funny. That's really funny. Yeah, I think that's it. That was definitely not just clickbait. That one was a lot of fun. All right. Spy X Family, Marvel Studios might launch Avengers Con. 2 articles saying the same thing. That's fun too. Forgot a major birthday in the show. Continuity errors. HBO Max cancels. Oh no! That's highly unfortunate. That was such a good series. HBO Max has canceled Raised by Wolves after two seasons. Although producers are hopeful the series will continue in another venue, and one of the series stars is actively courting fans on social media in hopes they can pressure somebody to buy it up and bring the end of the series to life. In comments on Twitter, actor Abubakar Salim drew a line between the series' premature end and the Warner Brothers Discovery merger that seems to have led to a number of cancellations across broadcast, cable, and streaming. For their part, HBO Max just thanked the cast and crew for their participation. The HBO Max statement is as follows. While we are not proceeding with the third season of Raised by Wolves, we are beyond grateful to the stellar cast and crew. Our creators, Aaron Guzikowski, Ridley Scott, and David W. Zucker, the entire team of Scott Free Productions, for their beautiful artistry and unique ability to immerse fans in the world of Kepler-22b. Series star Abubakar Salim took to social media shortly before HBO Max made the official announcement to encourage fans to mobilize to save the series. He said, "It's not surprising, especially after the news of the mergers and what is happening at Warner, that a lot of shows are not having their stories finished. And unfortunately, one of those shows is Raised by Wolves. Nothing has been publicly shared yet." So this is, again, before the official HBO Max statement. "And there's reason for that, an important one. One which I'm here to share with you. There is hope. You see, we're in a unique position. We have a fully fleshed out and planned storyline, a Goliath of a production team behind us, incredible reception from critics and reviewers alike, most crucially, a community base that is so strong internationally it cannot be ignored." This, I feel like, is very freaking true. It's such a good series. The reason the cancellation hasn't been announced, and that's because there's still a chance the story can continue and to be finished at a new home. This is where you all come in. As we speak, Scott Free and the creatives are pushing for the show to be continued in other homes, sharing the reception and pull of the show to other storytellers. There's no denying that we are in a time where the power of community's voice can make change. See the Snyder Cut. There's been many instances where we collectively witnessed where this has happened. Again, see the Snyder Cut. Few that spring to mind is The Expanse, Top Boy, as well as good old Snyder. Hey, look, he said it too. "I'm asking for action. I see pure love, passion, and questions too many that arise daily on Twitter for Raised by Wolves. Excuse me. I'm now asking that you continue to, and with even more vigor, show that genuine love here, there, and everywhere, and search for that new home. It's never that simple. It's only a slither of hope." Maybe he meant sliver. "A lot that comes down to die rolling in our favor. But as most of you know, I really enjoy the dice every now and then, and rolling nat 20s seems to be a thing for me." Hey, hey, D&D reference even. "So let's give it a shot. Let's give it our all. Let's get that door finally open and get the light we see of this show flooding into other homes." That was a joke, but a serious one. Yeah, so nothing from any of the production staff on this just yet, but an impassioned plea from one of the stars. Continuing right along. Oh, dear Lord. Kesha to investigate the paranormal and supernatural in new Discovery Plus series. No thank you. Kang's MCU future is bright, according to Loki director Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Walking Dead spinoff will blow your effing minds. Probably. Saints and Sinners Chapter 2 Retribution gets new PSVR trailer. Oh, we should go to gaming. Obi-Wan rumored to return for another season. Yeah, rumors are fun things. Magnum to PI may be saved by NBC and USA after CBS cancellation. George R. R. Martin says House of Dragon improved one of his characters. I didn't mean to actually click on that. Crap. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I think we are headed to gaming. So let's hit the gaming on comicbook.com, and then we'll switch over maybe to Engadget or something. PlayStation State of Play. Here we go. That's what I was hoping we would see to start things off, and it is exactly what we saw to start things off. So PlayStation's State of Play. First thing they showed was the Resident Evil 4 trailer, the remake trailer that is coming to PS5 and PSVR 2, I believe. It's coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series consoles, and PC March 24th of next year. Resident Evil Village is the one that's coming to VR2. So you'll be able to play through that one again. No release date for that just yet. And then we had Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Retribution Chapter 2, like we just referenced a moment ago. No Man's Sky coming to VR2, which apparently is a great game these days. I totally lost track of that for a while, and now I've actually heard it in a number of articles referenced. So that's interesting. Oh, and another VR from the Horizon series. You have Horizon Call of the Mountain. So I don't believe this is the same protagonist as the other two games. Yeah, so players will be taking control of Ryas, a former Shadow Karha warrior who is skilled in archery and climbing as he attempts to redeem himself while investigating a grave threat. Interesting. Spider-Man Remastered, we talked about. So this is coming, and this also, I believe... No, just coming to PC. Stray release date. There you go. Stray July 19th for that weird game where you play as a stray cat. Callisto Protocol. This is the spiritual successor to Dead Space, not Silent Hill. Dead Space. Striking Distance Studios is the new studio that's producing this, and it's made up of former employees of Konami, who were the Dead Space crew. So Striking Distance Studios shared a new link, or new look at the Callisto Protocol. God, I wish I could play this trailer. And a December release date during the event. Where is that December release date? December 2nd for current gen and next gen. Awesome. That's so badass. That is definitely going to be one that I get. Not even going to lie. Street Fighter 6, also heard about this one. All new gameplay trailer. It looks like it will have open world elements to it. So it's getting a conquest mode. Conquest spelled with a K. Thank you very much, Mortal Kombat. And also, I believe it's changing art styles, and they have finally updated the art, the logo. That's what I was looking for. Final Fantasy 16 is what closed the State of Play announcement. So Final Fantasy, all new trailer, releasing next summer, though an exact release date has not yet been announced. Oh, also of note for the Street Fighter announcement is current and next gen consoles, and it's coming back to the Xbox finally. So us Xbox players will have an opportunity to play Street Fighter once again. So pretty stoked about that. All right, so we got gaming. That's the big stuff in gaming. We will go in much more detail in the regular episode next Wednesday. So we're going to leave the gaming realm now. Oh, come off it. Let's just do this. All right. Because I actually did my homework this time. And there it is. Yeah. Going to do some music before we hit our mid-episode pause. These are the top tracks of the week according to Gimme Metal. Top tracks from yesterday. There we go. Open, you jerk. Why is it? Oh, because it's taking forever to do the handshake or what? My connection has lost its connectivity. Well, while that's loading, let's check. Still have good connection. What does this guy say? We've dropped... Oh, that's just from the stream, though. We haven't dropped anything significant from the recording, so we are good. All right, you jerk. Why aren't you loading? There we go. There we go. Hey! All right, so... New music that has been released this week. Top tracks according to Gimme Metal. I don't know what that means, but it's part of Metal Injection, and this is one of our music sources that I use every week. Human Impact, Imperative. So these guys... Whoa. So this band sounds like somebody I'm definitely going to check out. Hitting the road this summer, the rejiggered lineup to include Made Out of Babies bassist and Daughters drummer, Human Impact will return with their thick, swirling brand of aggro post-rock. That sounds like some great stuff, because Made Out of Babies is a fantastic band. Daughters is okay. I've never heard of Human Impact before, but you can bet once I'm done with... Well, probably more likely it'll happen sometime down the road. We will probably do maybe a reaction even video to this Imperative track. Druids is a band that I have heard of, but I don't think I've ever actually heard them. Have a new track called Hide. New record is Shadow Work next week on Pelagic Records. It's a trio, sludge trio. All right. So Radiohead, like tension, melodic flourishes, segue into tranquil kind of fury, anchored around a fat rhythm section that often gets some comparisons to Mastodon and Ohm. Very interesting. Probably have to check them out as well. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is actually, as silly as the name is, they're pretty solid. They put out so much music. They do like 2 records a year. So yeah, these guys are pretty prolific with their output. But it's and not everything is that great when you're putting out that much music. I mean, there's a lot to sift through. But they have a surprisingly high percentage of good music. So this may or may not be one of those. But that there's a fair chance that it is one of those good ones. Church of Disgust, I have no idea who that is, but it looks like, look at how scary we are. Iat, Prima Materia, Philly Black Metal Combo, interesting, takes symphonic prog and chaotic pounding elements with equal doses, interesting. With heart-wrenching streams and emergence of a sax solo from Rivers of Nile's Zach Strauss. Very, very interesting. That's awesome. Gimme Metal, here we go. A little explanation at the bottom. Gimme Metal is a premier online radio station for metal fans around the world. First 24/7 metal music focused community where listeners can tune in to hear world class DJs like Dave Mustaine, Randy Blythe, Johan Hegg, Danny Lickler, Jessica Pimentel, and Brian Posehn. Interesting. I like Brian Posehn. He does a lot for the community, even though he himself is not a musician. He's put out a metal record, but he sang, and that's a pretty loose definition of the word sing. I think that's where we're gonna, yeah, this is last week's. We can quickly go through last week's. Fallujah, blah 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 blah, Hissing, Meltdown, Fallujah. These guys, I know the name because they're on Nuclear Blast, but I don't know the sound. That's not to say that they're bad. Nuclear Blast usually does pretty good vetting on their bands, so that's a pretty safe bet. If you like the heavies, Predatory Light. I like the artwork, so let's read this a little bit. Eerie and foreboding return after 6 years. Interesting. This Southwest crew, but Death by Twilight Hours is well worth the wait. Solos reach majestically over smoking ruins. That's a little too flourishy vocabulary. I don't know. Choking flames of black metal leap alongside the maniacal procession-like drumming ritual. All right, you got me back there. Not bad. Exocrine, Dying Light. Exocrine. High speed and off the rails, France. Oh, that's another French metal band. Exocrine? Adds distinct Euroflare to their unfailing tech attack. I like tech death. Symphonic swells, though tech black death, kind of. And classic chord structures underline the brutal but precise. I mean, honestly, you probably listened to this song twice, maybe three times. How do you know what the chord structure is, bro? Unless you yourself are like a teacher of music. Disorder and order butt heads in a most pleasing way despite the frenzy. There's great melodic elements. Yeah. All right. Exocrine. I'm going to go with that one. Galloway Eastern Witchcraft. Maniac trash with a venom penchant. Yeah, not big on venom, so maybe wouldn't say Galloway is one I'll be looking into, but I bet I'll check that Exocrine out. So yeah, that's where the news portion of this show is going to end. So those of you who are in post, thank you very much for joining up to this point. If you want to become part of the news yourself, then we do this every Friday night, usually. And usually start it at 7:30 Mountain Time and usually have a lot of fun. So don't forget to join. We also do the regular episode every Wednesday. That one's pre-recorded and have all the edits and all the fancy stuff. And yeah, I feel like that is where we're just going to end right now. Those of you who are here live, we will be taking a few minutes break and returning in just a bit to... Why am I getting red notifications? I don't understand. Nothing is wrong. All right. Sorry. We'll be returning in a few minutes with the gaming portion of the episode. And we're still building the lockout map on Splitgate. And we'll be hitting some Splitgate stuff and a little bit of Halo just because I'm still trying to work my way through Season 2's Battle Pass and all that fun stuff. So thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. If you are just here for the news, we will see you in the next one. Before we head out, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. And yeah, break time. We'll be right back.